fans came out here to watch a game of football.
Once again, Sandy, football's the winner here tonight.
These two brothers know how to handle business.
Touched up the virus. It came up behind him like a librarian. He never heard it.
What a delicious young player he is.
I see it, but I don't believe it.
It's two brothers and they're going to... It's called Two Brothers. Two Brothers.
Season 2, episode 2 of Loose Lips Sink Ships. My name is Sean Lindsay. I'm from Triple M Esperance. And my brother who joins me on the show is called Ben Lindsay. He's back for the second episode. For the first episode, he had the jitters. He was nervous and things are going to get pretty interesting in the next 10 minutes or so. Ben, will the second episode, will you be better? Will you be calmer? Will you be cooler in the face of adversity?
I guess so.
Cool.
Mm.
All right, we've got an agenda here. Should we get tucked into it then without further ado?
Let's do it.
So on this... Oh, did you... You must have written this. So the first item I've got here is Sean's remarkable tipping. I didn't think it was
I can't believe it. I don't understand. Explain what you got in the tipping.
7.
How? Are you... do you have some form? That just doesn't make sense. Explain.
Well, so I've decided this year, so I'm notoriously really bad at tipping. It always gets into my head. Once I fall behind at the start, which is basically 99% of people, once they fall behind, you try and go for the roughies, right? Or maybe you go for the favourites and then one or two roughies. Inevitably, you lose the roughies and then you lose a couple of the favourites. You fall further behind. So this year, I've just decided to go to basics. This round, round one, which was riddled with upsets, and we'll get to some of those. There were so many upsets across the round. It was a really beautiful start to the 2019 season. I just went the home sides. I picked Richmond were away from home. The rest were all the home sides. Bingo, bango, 7 out of 9.
You're joking. You just went the home team.
I just went the home team.
No reason. You're joking.
Yeah, Tigers and Blues were just too obvious. I had to go Tigers. And then the rest, if it was 50-50, I just went the home side. Obviously, Adelaide, who were underwhelming against Hawthorn, Alistair Clarkson, he just gets Adelaide. He just knows them. If he had any team to choose to play against, if his life depended on it, if he had his ball sack attached to a mousetrap, and if his team was going to lose, it would go snap and crack his balls, and he'd choose Adelaide 9 times out of 10. So I lost them. The other team I lost was... Who was it, Ben? Who was the other team that I lost?
You said last week in the podcast you tipped Essendon, which was a deplorable pick. So I'm assuming that's who you picked.
I did not. No, I chose... I ended up choosing GWS. I thought... I changed my mind a little bit. I still have big raps on the Bombers, but they were pretty bad. Should we talk about the Bombers?
Big raps on the Bombers. Did you watch that game? I've never seen a less effort game in my life. They were effortless, you could say.
Yeah, well, apparently, according to the stats, so the average kilometres covered by the teams across round one was 260 kilometres. That's in total, every player combined. Guess where the Bombers were sitting compared to that?
Well short of that, I reckon.
160 kilometres less.
Yeah, I don't understand, Sean. Maybe you can explain, because you're a wise football brain. You can tip 7 out of 9 before tipping. How do you go into round one when you've had a full preseason, and the Bombers didn't make the 8 last year, so they've had as big a preseason as you could have. So how do you bring an effort like that? Their skills, awful. Their effort, awful. They had nothing going on. And look, I've heard these excuses. They weren't playing the big fella, Joey Danaher, or Kale Hooker, but they're the bookends. It was lost in the middle. Their midfield was deplorable. Dylan Shield, they brought him in on big bucks, and against his old mob, where you think you'd have, you know, show a bit of passion for the ticker. He sucked. The whole team sucked.
He sucked.
And I'm really disappointed because I tipped GWS. I actually I got 3 for the round, just by the way, on the tipping.
I missed Melbourne. That's the other team I missed. Melbourne versus Port. but just back onto Essendon really quickly. Yeah, it was the effort. Obviously, when you can't argue against those numbers. That's 100 kilometres less, which is, as you said it quite often, deplorable. Is that the word of the week, deplorable?
Potentially, Sean. I've been using it a little bit. But so what do they do? We're not here for problems, are we? It's not a problem podcast. It's a solution podcast. Mate, give me a solution.
Oh, it's round one. There's no solution needed. They had a slow start. They were 6-2 last year and they almost made the eight. It's just round one, you can't look into it too much. Like, obviously when you play well, that's really great. But if a team has an off week, sometimes it's going to happen round one, sometimes it's going to happen round 10. The Essendon Bombers absolutely annihilated the Premiers last year at Optus Stadium. They took them apart, dismantled them like a piece of Lego or pieces of Lego combined together. So I'm not too worried about them, but you'd want them to pick up the next week. You'd want a very strong response this week against St Kilda, who were pretty miserable as well. The Gold Coast St Kilda game, I think we said, who cares? Gosh, it really lived up to that sentiment. It was a shocking game.
There's more focus on the actual turf, on the Marvel Stadium turf, than the actual game itself. I don't know what happened that game anyway. I actually thought, if you compared the effort in the St Kilda Gold Coast game compared to Essendon, there was more effort, there was more pressure. And that's where I kind of differ in opinion with you on the Essendon Bombers. I think they're going to have a real poor year. I think they're going to be a bottom four team. It's on the back of, you don't run 160Ks in a game on average, like as a team, and win games. Because that means you're not putting pressure on, you're not working hard enough. I can't believe it. Anyway, we're going to get stuck in this horrible Essendon vortex, and it's going to end up us, you know, asking for John Warfield or Ted. So let's just move on. It's frustrating. I'm frustrated.
Well, so let's say, hypothetically, if the Bombers go into round 12, I know you said let's move on from the Bombers, but just before we go, let's say he goes into round 12, 6-6, and he's about 10th. Does he keep his job, or is that not enough, or...?
He keeps his job. I don't know what his contract arrangement is, but 6-6 at the midpoint of the year for the Bombers is that's a fail for them.
Yeah, definitely.
And whether they go into the mid-season draft, they look. I mean, at the moment, it looks like they don't have enough big bodies in the midfield. So they're still got quite like a young team, a young talented team, and they just need a bit more depth. It looks like.
I'm still on the Bombers train. They've got a lot of pace at the back. They've got some good things around up forward. Aratsu Fantasia, when he comes back and gets back up to his, you know, lofty stand. Yeah,
he was missing
all of last year. You need to give him a bit of time to settle. We can't all be Jamie Elliott.
Pre-season
isn't match practice. You can't pick up the pace of the game. We're not all Jamie Elliott's. What a great comeback that was from that kid. But that's what Aratsu Fantasia just needs a couple of weeks to get the speed of the game. I mean, it took a lot of players a lot of time to get some touch. I think that's across the board. In fact, let's touch on that. The skills across round one, so a lot of people saying to me, oh, round one, that's always pretty bad in skills, because round one, pressure's high, skills are low. I don't remember the skills being that bad. I saw a lot of people run into almost open goals and completely spray it, shouting a soda to all the boys. It happened. Steel side bottom would be one of the top 10 in terms of skills across the AFL, and he kicked one out of bounds on the full, running into basically an open goal. It was ridiculous. Are the skills always that bad?
I'll say one thing. Steel side bottom, for mine, is the best skilled player in the comp. So it was surprising to see him shank a ball. But you know what it was, Sean? You know what it is?
What is it?
I don't know if you know this, but I actually lived in Melbourne. I was in Melbourne for 6 months, and I became very well attuned to the weather and to the different microclimates. And as far as I could see, Sean, it was very, very humid, very moist. So I'm going to give the round, in terms of skills, a mulligan. I'm going to say it was a one-off. Just as you said for the Essendon Bombers, round one was a one-off for them. I think the skills was a one-off. I'm just going to blame the moisture. It was hot in Melbourne, Sean. It's never going to be as hot again for the rest of the year. It's going to be really cold and wet on the weekend, actually. And I reckon that moisture was probably why the skills were a little down.
Well, you need to play the part of a meteorologist just for a second there, because I heard it was some of the warmest conditions Melbourne could possibly expect across the weekend. So what?
Sean, humidity. It's the humidity.
Okay.
It was really, look, believe me, I'm the weatherman. I know how Melbourne weather works. I could just tell from the television screen that it was really, really muggy. and hot.
Okay. And, it sounds like BS to me. But everywhere else, even all the other games as well, all the skills were down. I mean, how do you explain?
The Dockers were very clinical against Kangaroos, and their skills were very high.
That was very impressive. Do you watch that game? I think that was the most surprising result of the week, the way the Dockers played. It was amazing.
I reckon how poor Melbourne was just as surprising, but I did watch the game, the Dockers game, and I thought they were fantastic. Their transition from back line to forward line was fantastic. And Cam McCarthy, boy oh boy, he looks like a different person.
Well, I don't think North Melbourne, I think the Dockers forced them to be bad because the amount of, so the North Melbourne Kangaroos, by the looks of it, they're trying to do some sort of system where they're running out of their back line. So they've got Pittard, Polek, a bit of pace back there. They've got
Aaron Hall in that as well.
Yeah, Sean Attlee, he's a bit of a go-getter. They want to be fast. They've been trying to use the handball all through the JLT, and they try to use it against the Dockers. And they just had the little mosquito squad who were applying a lot. The pressure was coming from everywhere, from behind, from in front. That was the real Ross Lyon trademark, which was obvious about this game. It looked like a Ross Lyon team. But what was not Ross Lyon like, what was different to previous teams of his, was that they moved it on almost immediately, either by hands or by quick foot. They put it out in front of blokes. They just got it moving, and they scored over 100 points. They did that twice all of last year. By three-quarter time on Sunday, they had 100 points. So good on him. Obviously, he's getting better. He'd want to, because I tell you what, a lot of people are calling for his head. They want him out of WA. So it'd be interesting how the Dockers respond, though, in the next few games. They've got a pretty easy one coming up.
Yeah, I think expertly commented, Sean. I couldn't agree more with all those comments. Just the fact that they were able to put so much pressure on the ball carrier and then rebound with pace, and were able to identify. I mean, everyone scored a goal by six. So my maths is not great, but that's 16 goal scorers, isn't it? That's amazing. I think the other thing is that Kangaroos really didn't look like they had many avenues to goal. They got like Zeeble and whatnot down there, but they just kept on going straight to ground. And I think Alex Pearce is going to have a huge year for the Dockers, and he was all over him. And I think there was very, very few players in the North Melbourne lineup who could hold their head up, one being Goldstein, who looked like he's wound at the clock and was one of the few ruckmen during the round who actually looks dominant in a new format with new skills where you'd think it would suit the ruckman. A lot of these ruckmans had really poor days.
What do you think about Maxi?
May segue to the team of the week, I reckon, Sean, because there's a couple good rucks in the team of the week.
And the team of the week, well, this is a new segment we're going to do and have a close look at a certain team. We'll just cover them for the next couple minutes or so. So well done, Port Adelaide supporters. This is your team.
Good. I think we both agree with this. I think Port were fantastic. Just a few points. The way that Scotty Tricep and Paddy Ryder were able to tag Team Max Gawn set a blueprint for teams of the future on how to really combat strong ruckman. Although I think Geelong, who play Melbourne this week, don't have the ruckman to be able to do it. So I reckon Scotty might have to think outside the box on that one. But that ruck it was fantastic. And I thought some of the old Port Adelaide heads, including Travis Boak, led the way magnificently. Travis Boak and Justin Westhoff were two, just they were sublime.
Yeah, I completely agree. It was the mix of young and old, which has a really good balance at Port Adelaide. Obviously early days, but they've got good signs. With the Maxi Gawn thing though, so you're right, Scotty Triceps and even our big friend Paddy Ryder, they dominated him and they were bullying him, but it was a bullying across the board. It was like he was the odd kid out at lunchtime, the kid with, I don't know, two bananas and that's all he's got for lunch, and he just got a little bit bullied and picked on, old Maxi Gawn. Mm.
Did you like the tactics? What did you think? Because it was the whole team were getting stuck into him.
Yeah.
You don't like it?
No. So it's the same as Johannesson as well. When Sydney got stuck into him and then teams were going after him, I think it's an ugly look, to be honest. Purely on I don't particularly like the niggle. I don't mind a little bit of bumping before the bounce and just a bit of a, how you going? Like, we're here to play some football for, you know, probably a couple hours. But in terms of a team just attacking and verbally attacking, I don't think it's... I don't even know what the spirit of the game is, but I feel like it's not within the spirit of the game.
But you can't deny it worked.
Yeah, of course it does. It's very effective, and it's worked a couple of times. It worked for the West Coast Eagles last year, and it worked for Port Adelaide really well in his 100th game. But I don't like it. I mean, if it was... Look, do unto others what you expect to unto you. Is that it?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, but the thing is, what I don't like the look, but if it's within the rules of the game, so be it, if that's what you want to do. The thing that was really disappointing was Melbourne had no response. Like, his teammates, like, where was Nathan Jones? Where was bloody Clary Oliver, Angus Brayshaw, you know, backing up their ruckman? Everyone just stood back and just let it happen without any kind of fire, which I thought was wholly disappointing.
Yeah.
And it's a two-way street, Sean. It's a two-way street.
Yeah, it's you can drive on both sides of the road. Two lanes. Let's go back to Port Adelaide. They're our team of the week. They're going to be strong this year. I was sort of having one sort of half an eye on them during the preseason. They did insert that youth, and you're kind of rolling the dice there. It could work out well. It might not. You never really know if they haven't been tried at the top level. But they were fantastic, and they brought a real youthful enthusiasm around the contest. They still have quality in there. They've still got Ollie Wines, who didn't even play. Hopefully Travis Boak, without having the captaincy this year, can reach those sort of lofty heights, because I think he was...
And Sean, you've got the...
The pig.
The pig.
Who's the pig?
Who's back? The pig.
Who's the pig?
Mate, the perennial pig. You don't know who the... is?
No. Sorry.
Oh, mate, Tommy Pig Rockliff.
No.
He's back.
I thought you meant Pow Pepper. I thought you meant Pow Pepper, and that was like Pepper the Pig.
Oh, mate, no. It's no Pepper, no Sam Powell, Pepper the Pig. It's Rockliff.
Mm.
He had liver poison, didn't he?
He was good.
Hospital yet?
Yeah, no, he was good. Jackie Watts was good as well after turmoil.
How beautiful was the interview? And I actually thought it was so touching to see big madman Mooney just straight after the interview go, come on, Jack, come here, let's go for a walk. And they just went for a bit of a walk together on the ground. I thought that was beautiful.
Sometimes
work.
It's nice, and this is for everyone as well, sometimes it's nice to grab your mate and go, come on, mate, let's just go for a quick walk, you know. There's something about getting that blood in the legs and a bit of fresh air and just walking it out, talking it out, it really helps, I think.
It actually works on a physiological level, Sean. It's about getting the blood pumping around the body, and it actually releases certain endorphins that relaxes you. It's smart from Mooney.
Yes.
He's an intelligent man, and he's well aware. He's good with his biology, I reckon.
But they've got.
I'd also like to make comment on how good Zachary Butters looked. He's going to be a player, and he just the way that this he had the air of arrogance he had, the confidence he had to take people on, do little look-away handballs, and just really take the game by the scruff of the neck. Oh, it was exciting.
So I like Port Adelaide. I like at the back, they've got Jonas, gun, right? At the front, they've got Dixon, gun. They've got some midfield bulls. Do they have the pace? I'm not sure, but they do have this young sort of fleet of people coming through, of kids coming through who could provide that run and carry. They lost Pittard and Pollock last year. Perhaps there were a couple of lemons. They went to North Melbourne side and didn't... Well, they actually performed okay for North Melbourne. Everyone else was shocking. But all right, so let's give ourselves a rating for the Port Adelaide. This is what we'll do. Just at this moment, just pencil it in. Maybe use a chalk on chalkboard as well, because that's less permanent as well. What do you reckon about Port Adelaide's prospects this year?
Are we talking a ladder position or just the rating out of 10, you think?
Ladder position, I was thinking.
There's still too many unknowns, still too early, but I reckon they could definitely push 6 to 5.
Right.
More likely be hanging around the top 8. Just my final comment, before you say your rating, my final comment from them is that last year they were playing this very stop-start, kick-mark kind of game style. If you notice on the weekend, it was handball, kamikaze handball. If there was someone running past, give it and go. And that's what really got Melbourne on the hop. And Melbourne are a team who are an inside team and really couldn't handle this like fast outside movement. And so it was really well done tactically by Ken. And if he can you know, think tactically against the other teams in the comp, I think they're going to go really far. I reckon they could finish fifth, but more likely I'm going to say eighth. They'll be an eighth.
Yeah, maybe even ninth if they get some injuries or something. I agree with you. Melbourne, just they picked the wrong players. Nathan Jones was shocking, absolutely shocking. Jack Viney wasn't impressive either. And when Melbourne do bad, the barometer is Petrarca. When Petrarca has a stinker, they all suck. They really do. Maybe
he was no good, Petrarca.
He didn't get a touch. I don't think he had, yeah, anyway, he was shocking. We talked before about Jack Watts and that touching moment. So when Cam Mooney took him aside and they talked about the troubles he'd had on the during the off season, and we all know about that. That's well documented. And Ben, I mean, I sent you a message on, I think, Friday, and because obviously Dockers great Paul Hazelby, he had a thing to say about you, basically. He had a go at your opinion. You were saying you were pretty upset about the fixtures, round one fixtures, and he basically schooled you. The commentary last week on Loose Lips Sink Ships, episode one, Ben was so mad about the Eagles playing in Brisbane against the Lions, round one. He demanded that they get sent off with this huge game at Optus Stadium where the Premiership Cup is presented. This is what Paul Hazelby said about the Eagles playing at home round one.
No, I don't think so, because that would be unfair on the Fremantle Dockers. In all seriousness, they rotate every year who has the first game, and it plays a part, because at one stage when you play at home and then you have the away Western Derby, you get to stay here for 3 weeks in a row. So it's a big advantage for that team, and I just don't think it would be fair if the West Coast Eagles got that scenario every year. So that's the reason for it. It's not going to take long to come back and unveil the flag. That will happen. And the beauty is you're going to get 12 opportunities to see them at home at Optus Stadium. So I don't have an issue with it.
Ooh. Now, I will let you have a chance to rebuttal, but two things. First of all, I hope you had a pad and pen for that, because that was you being schooled. The second thing, I've got some eggs here. There's some cheese in there and salt and pepper. So should I just put that on your face now, or just
Sean,
let it cool?
Set us up making yourself a frittata, because I had some strong words in retaliation. First of
not
all,
a Paul Hazelby.
Geez, Sean. I'm here to play chess, not checkers. What was Hazelby on? I bloody asked for apples, and Hazelby's giving me mandarins, mate. He's completely off the mark. So first of all, I didn't say the Eagles had to play at home. No. I'm well aware of this rotational policy.
Paul told you.
Eagles, Dockers, or whatever. That's fine.
You didn't make that clear last week, did you? You didn't make it clear.
Oh, mate. The subtext, mate. I just said it should have been a grand final rematch. And I did. I said in the podcast last week, you can go back and listen to it if you want, Sean, and listener. It's always there on the line. It should be at the MCG. They should have a rematch at the MCG on a Saturday afternoon or a Friday night fixture, whenever. And that's what it should be. So at the moment, what's going to happen this Friday night, or no, tomorrow night, is this Thursday, it's a preliminary rematch match. Because it's between Richmond and Collingwood. What a bunch of baloney. So they're going to have a preliminary final rematch and not a bloody grand final rematch until God knows when. I'm not saying the Eagles had to play at home. Of course the Dockers need to have their home game. That's what, you know, contractually being agreed to. What I'm asking for is a rematch, probably in the MCG. The actual viewership in WA would be huge. It'd be great for the broadcasters. They'd make a lot of money from it. As well as you get a tonload of people at the game at the MCG to watch a rematch against two very good teams in Collingwood and West Coast. So, mate, I think you must have told Hazy the wrong question, because he looked really silly with that response.
Well, no, not at all. I think, so you, across the round one, what did you think of the results? Are you still against the fixture? You didn't think it worked out well? The calamity of upsets, the close games and everything, you still thought it was a poor round. You would have changed the result to have Collingwood versus Eagles despite the round.
Well, erroneous.
Was the round a success?
Do I think if there had been a blockbuster game between Collingwood and West Coast, it would have made the round better? Yes.
You're heaping a lot of shit here. You're heaping a lot of shit on the Brisbane Lions here, who absolutely dismantled West Coast. It wasn't even a contest after quarter time. It was a team coming into their own, and yet you're still like, no, no, they're wasted over. Oh, the West.
You didn't know that before the game.
Who knows anything?
Who knows? Geelong could be the worst team in the comp, yet they still managed to beat Collingwood. You don't know until you've had it like a
Your argument was that the West Coast Eagles versus Brisbane game was a wasted game for the Premiers. They wouldn't get. You said they wouldn't get 6,000 or 7,000 to the game. They got almost 15, which is great by them to watch.
They didn't.
Yeah, they did.
Preposterous. I watched the game, Sean. There would have been
I actually just pulled a figure out of my asses then. I've been trying to search it. During your rant, I was trying to search what the actual... Oh, here we go. 20,000 people. How about that?
You know, you can't count imaginary people in the stats here, mate.
The crowd of 20,000 people were on their feet again after the Lions held West Coast goalless in the third term and extended the lead to 21 points. 20,000 people watched that game. You said 6,000 or 7,000. How?
That sounds like an estimate, mate. Sounds like an estimate to me.
20,069.
Look, Sean, I will fall on my sword.
I want you to apologise. No, no, don't fall on your sword. I want you to apologise to the Brisbane people, in particular the Brisbane Lions fans, because you said that the West Coast Eagles weren't worthy of that game, that they should be playing a better game than the Brisbane Lions at the Gabba. Give them an apology.
No, but I absolutely still stand by that point. I still think they should have been playing a more important game after the Gabba. The Gabba should have had the Geelong team play. It should have been Geelong play at the Gabba, West Coast play the Eagles. But I will apologise to the 20,029 people that went to the Gabba and watched the game. I'm sure it was a ripper atmosphere.
Yes.
Much than the reigning premiers. That was an underwhelming game by the Eagles, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was horrible. It was shocking. They didn't fire a shot.
They'll step up. Them playing GWS this Saturday night is going to be an absolute rip snorter. Mm. So. I reckon that'll be the game of the round, actually.
What do you think about the hitting below the knees free kicks? There's a few of them this round. I noticed skills being down. I noticed players being really grumpy. And I noticed a lot of free kicks for players diving on the ball, getting their hands on the ball, and then knocking someone's knees. And the person whose knees were not getting the free kick. There were the three things about the round which I didn't like. It looked ugly, these aspects. The skills were covered. Why are players whinging more? As in, you see someone get a free kick against, they turn to the umpire, mouth guard gets ripped down, like, oh, gosh, oh, boy, I didn't do that. Oh, they're so grumpy, and I don't like it. It looks shit.
Yeah. Again, let's focus on solutions, not on problems, Sean. I think the umpires, they have... So, first of all, we're talking about the grumpy players.
Yep.
The grumpiness. Are we talking about the Sean Lindsay's out on the field? He just whinge and whine the whole time.
I just
think the umpires need to be stronger. Call a free kick against it.
They've already conceded the free kick. That's why they're grumpy, you goose.
Then call it 50.
You can't call it 50.
Stop complaining. Of course you can, Sean. If you don't like it so much,
that's unreasonable.
That's unreasonable.
It's a cultural thing. The umpires need to say, listen, we will give 50 metres, but we need to stamp this out. It needs to come.
And that's the thing. And I think umpires are well within their rights to take that approach to say, look, I'm going to give you a warning right now, but next time you give me a little bit more lippy next time there, and I'm going to give you a 50 metre penalty. I think they should do that.
It's just the aesthetics, because they're probably not swearing. They're probably just asking, oh, what was that for? Oh, I wasn't holding onto his jumper. I was holding onto my arm, but it looks petulant.
I think the umpires need to take more control. And on the sliding of the knee, there's clearly an interpretation problem here, right? Like, whatever they've been told as being, illegal in the eyes of the law, it needs to change. That interpretation needs to change, because it's to prevent, like, serious leg injuries, like broken legs. And at the moment, it's kind of just... It looks silly when someone who's going for the ball gets the ball and then are giving away for a kick because someone else has tripped over them. That's not what it's for. It should be for the real sliding in one, where you're sliding in and taking out the man.
It's actually disgusting. It looks horrible when you get someone. The perfect example is Patrick Dangerfield against Collingwood. He literally had his hands on the ball. He had it in his grasp, and some guy came in late and then tripped over it, and Dangerfield was punished. Like, it's a crap look.
They should be able to differentiate, like, when it's the player getting the ball and someone else coming in second. It's kind of like whoever the second person is shouldn't be awarded a free kick, you know what I mean?
Mm. But, and also, it sort of actually encourages two players to go for the ball on their feet, which means you'd have two heads clashing. And in a time when, head knocks and concussions are a really contentious issue, I don't know why you'd be trying to encourage that. And the rule was brought in off the back of, I think, two incidents where there was broken legs, but they were back-to-back almost. That sounds about right, or was there more?
Yeah, it was very quick succession where there was like
Gary Rowan was one.
That was really bad because he actually was kind of semi-upright, and the other guy, he was semi-upright and he was in control of the ball. I don't think he had possession, but he was in control. And the other person came in and slid and just broke his leg. And that's the incident they don't want to see. But at the moment, like you said, what Danger did, it's the player who's going for the ball, who gets the ball first, is getting penalised, kind of thing.
Yeah, I just think it's really reactionary acting off two incidents than putting in this rule, which has a really far-reaching effect. And I just think it looks really shocking.
Mm.
All right. Well, tips for the week before I let you go. Richmond versus Collingwood.
I reckon the Pies are going to do what they did in the prelim again.
Nah, Richmond. Sydney versus Adelaide.
I reckon Adelaide. I think Sydney are shot. I think they're on the downward trajectory. Are you going to say your tips as well?
Yeah, no, I am. I just said Richmond, so that's me saying my tip. Right. Were you not listening, or you just?
No, I wasn't really.
Okay, Sydney versus Adelaide is a tough one. I'm 50-50 on this one. Sydney came good at some stage. I reckon they're getting old. I didn't see the Adelaide game, and I think Adelaide will come. I think Adelaide will come good this year. I'm probably tipping Adelaide. Essendon Saints. Mm-hmm.
Oh goodness gracious! I'm going to tip the pass.
Essendon Port versus the Blues.
Port in a drubbing.
Geelong versus Melbourne, the game that you're going to.
Geelong, yeah, I'm going to be there, mate. I'm going to represent Cat Chat. At the event, I'll be tweeting. If anyone knows Cat Chat Twitter account, I'll be live tweeting that one. It'll be a great game. I'm going to be on the Cat to win by 50, I reckon.
Yeah, I'm going to not put my tips in for this one because I've got a conflict of interest. I think it'll be closer. I think Melbourne will bounce back. The Weagles versus the Giants.
It's going to be a real game of the week. I actually reckon the Giants.
Eagles and a canter, you're wrong. North Melbourne versus Brisbane Lions, which will be interesting.
Brisbane. Brisbane are back.
I'm going to go North. I don't think they can do that twice in a row. They were deplorable, and they'll have some pressure from Bradley Scott. Hawthorn versus the Doggies.
The mathematician algorithm cracker Clarkson will win this game for the Hawthorn Hawks.
Suns, I agree. Suns versus the Dockers.
The Dockers are going to consolidate their great performance last week and beat the Suns convincingly.
Yeah, no, I think the Suns. They came strong. They came home very strong. Give them a couple minutes in that St Kilda Suns game, they might have won. In fact, there was a moment 70 or 80 metres out when a Suns guy had his head over the ball and two St Kilda blokes came in and whacked him across the cheeks. And across the mutton chops and no free kick given, that would have been a lot different. I think they'll be all right this year, the Suns. And I think the Dockers, well, they might get a bit in over their head. Does Hogan play just before I let you go?
I reckon he will play, but I reckon he'll play. Considering McCarthy's great game last week, they put Hogan more on the wing, more of a half-forward flank. And I think you can only get better with McCarthy in form and Hogan in, which is why they'll probably win.
You've been listening to Loose Lips Sink Ship is Season 2, Episode 2. I am Sean and my brother Ben's been with you as well. Bye, Ben. And as we always do, this the close-off. Yours, Ben.
I'm Ben.